that I just want you to know this is the place where life is expressing with goodness, truth, and power and beauty, so that we honor you, we celebrate you, we believe in you. This is also a place where we recognize the diversity of life within each one of us and around each of us. We're a place that, like, starting now, since it's June, this is the beginning of Pride Month. Gay Pride Month, okay. Diversity Pride Month, okay. Pride Month for whatever your chosen pronouns are. Pride Month for whoever you are. We are here to celebrate you this month. And we do that with the idea of compassion. To know more about compassion, look at our website. Look at my blog there at cslmidtown.org. Have a pretty extensive little article there about compassion and how to use it and what difference it makes in our lives. So with all that, let me tell you a little more about who we are. But instead of me telling you, how about we let the practitioners and some of our board members tell you more about who we are by sharing with you our Declaration of Principles. I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And that which we teach and believe in and are kind of our guidepost for what we do here, you can find that also at our website, cslmidtown.org. And it's a more extended version. This is a shortened version or an excerpt from the Declaration of Principles. There's a whole lot more there, and they're pretty amazing and fascinating, I think. So a practitioner, I mentioned that name earlier, in case you don't know, is someone who practices. They practice this teaching. They practice the principles of oneness. They practice the principles of healing, the principles of living life at a greater expression. And a practitioner, what we call a licensed practitioner, is licensed by Centers for Spiritual Living, our international organization, and are recognized then anywhere in the world as licensed people to do this work, to teach, to guide, to support you in your own growth and your own personal work. Today we have one of our licensed practitioners who is a wonderful expression of life and who has shown great compassion for the world and the work that she does. So I would bring to you, without any further conversation, Barbara Gilliard. Guillory, thank you.
So, yes, compassion for the world. I think that does describe me. Thank you, Dr. Bond. Good morning, everyone. So glad to be here with everybody. And, of course, glad that you guys are here. Certainly was looking forward to this day. And that's because it's Yummy Sunday. So there's lots of festivities and, of course, the feast laid out. So that's always a way to show compassion. So as Dr. Bob said, it is compassion for the world. But how does one get into a state of compassion? So this is the question that I started with as I was thinking about what I would be sharing with you all today. And for me, it has been the classes here with Science of Mind that helped me to develop a state of awareness. As many of you all know, I was brought up as a Catholic or conditioned as a Catholic. And in that conditioning as a Catholic, they Yes, they created a deity for me to believe in, which was so far away. I was never, ever going to see this deity, be a part of this deity, touch this deity. And I was like so way down. And of course, that was more of a separation in my mind. And that is a thought that I operated on, again, unconsciously, but still operated on as a Catholic. So coming here and again, understanding the classes, and yes, Signs of Mind created another deity for me. But the deity that was created for me this time around was one that was omnipresent, everywhere, available to me, I'm part. It was one that was available to everybody, that was good. The deity was loving. The deity was kind. The deity was supportive. The deity was compassionate. And of course, that just created a whole different experience for me. And of course, I continued on with the teaching because it was just feeling like it was the right thing for me. And even, guys, in the Bible, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And that is what I've credited myself as being able to better understand the universal principle, the use of the universal principle, how that principle can help me in my existence, how that principle helps with the existence of everyone. So the distinction, again, was the teaching that I am separated from this greatness. And the teaching here with the Science of Mind, I am one with this greatness. And it generates two totally different experiences. So I'm forever grateful for your classes and for your teaching. And one of the other things that came out of the teaching here is that I learned to be an observer. And as an observer, that allows me to detach from what is happening in the world. There are many things across the world that is happening, but of course, we would look at it, or I should say myself, I would look at it, and I would want it to be different. And yes, I would want it to be different. And based on how I looked at it or perceived it, that would create a certain experience for me, one of anxiety, if it's just hard to look at some of the images and not be pulled into them. But again, as a practitioner here in the teaching, you learn to be an observer. And as an observer, you detach yourself from that happening. But at the same time, you are now a conduit for peace to unfold into the situation at hand. You are a conduit for love to unfold with the situation at hand. You are now a conduit for compassion to unfold for the situation at hand. So this has been the clarification for me, again, on what that is for me, what my role has been, and of course, how can I bring compassion to any situation unless I have had the experience of compassion with the universe, with the oneness, with the principle at hand. So this says to me, in my own thinking, I am small. But again, in understanding where the universe is, it says to me, the universe is in a constant state of correction. It is always evolving. It is always writing things. Even those things we may not have an understanding, we can look at them and know the universe is in a process of correction. And this correction we know to be one of love, to be one of healing. This correction is one of compassion. So the question, how does one remain in the state of compassion without first having had that compassionate experience with the universe? So here is where I would like for us to gather together and create for ourselves a wonderful experience of the presence that would allow us to express compassion. And as we are gathering ourselves into the oneness and knowing there is but the universal goodness, the universal love, the universal peace, the universal balance, it is the very thing from which all things are manifested, without a doubt. I am an expression of this deity. I'm an expression of this greatness. I'm an expression of this oneness. I'm an expression of this compassion. I'm an expression of this peace. I'm an expression of this wonderful divine source that can do nothing but good. And it is out of this wonderful expression, I, as a co-creator with the spirit, with the universe, create for myself an experience of this wonderful presence in my life. It is this presence that fulfills my desire. It's this presence that fulfills my soul. It is this presence that is fulfilling. And out of this full expression of the presence of the healing of peace, I share the compassion that comes from this experience of the oneness. For this opportunity, I am grateful, and so it is.
Good job. Thank you, guys. Thank them, guys. That's great. I love that song. But also, mostly because it starts out talking about the troubles, and it jumps right to, I stand for love, I stand for peace, I stand for all those good things that we see being solutions to what's going on in the world. So today we're talking about compassion for the world. I don't know about you, but I'm bombarded these days through all of my little internet things, YouTube and Facebook. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say these on this network or not, but I'm saying them. And anywhere else, I saw a thing last night where someone was ranting and raving to Target for having rainbow flags around on their various counters and things because they were celebrating gay pride. And the person was calling this the devil's flag, because the devil's flag is the flag that doesn't have all the colors of the seven. It only had six. And because that's the symbol of child sexual abuse, of pedophilia, and all of those misunderstood ideas that I thought we settled 25, 30 years ago in our culture, but apparently have re-emerged. And I got mad, and I wanted to throw something at the TV, but since it was my TV, I didn't think that was a good idea. So I just turned it off and went to something else. But you know, every time you turn it on, if you're like me and you love YouTube videos, and you know, and they pop up, and there's all this stuff that goes on, and it stirs up our feelings. I mean the shootings and the killings that go on around the country of people just losing it and pulling out a gun and solving things with violence. All of that stuff that's going on out there in the world right now, and this seems to be worse. I frankly am not sure if it's really worse or more, or if it's just that we see it more because it's in everybody's got a cell phone taking pictures of the stuff going on. But all of that seems to just be boiling up within our culture and among our world. When I think of the world, I think about the collective, not only the physical world of the earth on which we are flying through space, our spaceship, but also when we define the world in science of mind teaching, it is the collective consciousness of the people of the world. And our attitude toward all sentient beings and the consciousness that has developed in that place. And it goes back as long as human beings have had consciousness and been aware of who we are. So it's a hodgepodge, a mush pot of all of these conflicting ideas that keep showing up and happening in the world. So when I'm exposed to all of that, when I look at it in a larger picture, I find myself feeling angry. Feeling sad, very sad sometimes, despair even. When I look at all of that and I fall into this pit of thinking that there's nothing I can do about any of it, I also find that there's a feeling of just helplessness, powerlessness that comes up. And if I'm not careful, then my compassion can turn into blame, can turn into all kinds of other things other than compassion. And as I look at this, there was the neighbors across the street were taking a big, gorgeous hardwood tree down out of their yard. I mean, it was tall enough, if it fell in any direction, it would hit any of number of houses. And I'm assuming that, and it perhaps was diseased, is why they were doing it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, don't cut down the trees. I love trees. Forest is where I get my rejuvenation. So I had all kinds of judgments about those people for doing that. Didn't occur to me that they were maybe protecting me from falling on my place. But, you know, so we get all this stuff going in our head and we start coming up with all this anger and frustration. The founder of the Church of Religious Science of Atlanta, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, said that his belief was that underneath all of that was basically anger. That there's a boiling anger that goes on because we are so know that we are not separate beings, and yet we are constantly hit by and immersed in a world that says we are. And then we get mad and we fight back. He has a lot more to say about that I'll share with you at another time. But the interesting thing is all of these things are going on in their isms. You know, we've got all the isms going on that people are angry about. It's ageism, sexism, alcoholism, and you name it, all the isms. So all of that stuff is just, you know, feeds that whole emotional reaction as opposed to giving us an opportunity. And it does also give us an opportunity, but it isn't immediately obvious that there's another way. And I believe that compassion is the bridge, or a bridge, between being lost in all of that emotional stuff and living in a world that's moving toward a life in a world that works for everyone, a life in a world that has greater potential, possibility, and kindness than anything else. Compassion is interesting. The definition in the various places that do definitions was something like, it's caring about the suffering that's going on and having a desire to do something to change it, a desire to take action. Caring about the suffering. It's very important here that we link this together with the idea that there's only one power, and that power is imminent and immediate. Thank you so much, Barbara, for your setting this up at the beginning with your words and your treatment. Because if we start with the idea that we're all separate, if we start with the idea that people's suffering is out there, or my suffering is over here by myself and not connected in any way to you, then that's what motivates us to pull out the guns and start shooting at ourselves across the room, because we don't look like ourselves and we're in a different person. The truth is there's one power, one human beingness. And that oneness is what links us and pulls us together. So the idea of attacking someone else because of the pain inside of me, it makes no sense from a standpoint of oneness. But yet, as in that world of unity, in that world of oneness, in that world in which there is one power and it's showing up as each one of us, not just in each one of us, but as each one of us, the life that you're living, the breath that you're breathing, the thoughts that you're thinking are all generated from and as part of this one power. And in that unity and in that oneness, then compassion becomes recognition of where people are still hurting in spite of that. Where we're all struggling to find a way to embody those realities and truths in our lives. To recognize that the real power of the universe is not out there somewhere to be gotten from another person or an organization or anywhere else. But the real power of life is right here inside of me and right there inside of you. Whoever you are, wherever you are. It's not something that we have to go and get. It's something we just need to recognize and allow to flow through us and out. So the caring for the suffering of other people, the caring for the suffering in the world is genuine and real, because it's like caring for myself by caring for you and caring about you. And the other part of compassion then is taking action. Not only do I care about it, not only does it matter to me, does my heart ache sometimes, but what action can I take? And here's where it gets a little tricky. Because action must be motivated by love, not motivated by attacking anybody else and making them wrong. My action has to come out of my love, out of my consciousness first. There is no greater action that you can take, nor more powerful action that you can take than changing your mind. Think about that for a minute. Changing your mind is the most powerful action you can take. Knowing something better, thinking something better about a situation. I was speaking with someone just before we started and commenting on all the stuff happening in the world. And he reminded me that, you know, things aren't done to us, they're done for us. There are opportunities to know something better, to stand and move into a greater place of knowing and being and knowing that we know. Now, that can be hard to love. You know, and the real power that makes that transformation possible is love. We talk about love a lot, but sometimes I think we talk about it so in the abstract. No, it's about the love that we feel for ourselves and for others. You know, and some people are just so easy to love. I think about all of you, and I think about others that are with us sometimes and not, and I think, wow, my heart just opens up, and it's just like a love fest. And I'm so happy for it and happy for you, and it's so easy to love you. But then I think about the people it's not so easy to love. I think about the young man ranting and raving about the rainbow flags. Beautiful young man. And I thought to myself, I wonder what happened to him. I wonder how he got hurt. I wonder who hurt him, that he's associating so much hurt and pain with this idea. And he maybe nobody. Maybe he's just bought into the rhetoric that's flying around out there. But I suspect for that stuff to stick in anybody, that belief in the horrors of life as being something real that has to be squashed or fought against or beaten down, that has to come because something inside of each person has somehow resonated with it. Something has happened. And that's where my compassion can fire up real fast, can kick up and get going. I thought, I wonder what he went through. I wonder what happened to him. There's so much here. My brain's going in four different directions. So hang on a second. Contemplate that for yourselves. One of the things that's really important in this, in thinking about taking action, is that as we are looking at what's happened and what's going on, and as we're looking at the suffering that's happening, that we stay out of the temptation to see people who are in pain as victims. Now, that's hard sometimes because it's so easy to jump on that bad wagon and say, yeah, well, if so-and-so hadn't done so-and-so to you, then you wouldn't be in this suffering. And the temptation is to do something about the suffering by attacking the perceived one doing the harm. And yet, as soon as we do that, we've sucked all of the power out of the situation for transformation or change. Once we break out of and decide not to see people as victims, but look beyond the victimhood, look beyond the ones who you might think of as perpetuating the victimhood. You know, everyone who's ever done harm to someone else has had harm done to them, or they wouldn't do it. So it's looking past all of that to the divine within them, knowing that the more clearly I can see that, the more likely it is it will burst forth into their lives and then bring them into a new place. I love Gandhi's phrase, we are the ones we are looking for. You know, in terms of changing the world, it's you and me, babe. Nobody else is going to do it. You and me, bro. You and me, all of us. Because the way we change it is by changing our attitudes, thoughts, and beliefs about it. Because that's where the power is. The power is in our thought. And then if we take action and do things out there in the world, we've got folks listening and folks here in the room who are involved in the political world in doing greater good, not by fighting against something, but fighting for something, standing for something, standing for a greater option and a greater life for people. But that action is coming out of a change in consciousness that says there's a greater good here and I demand to see it. Remember, one of my old teachers used to stomp her foot and say, there's something to know here, and it's all good, and I demand to see it. And the demand she was making was on her own consciousness, her own awareness. So I encourage you, when you run up against some of that stuff that you just can't seem to get around, and you want to smack something, instead of smacking stuff, step back and say, what is there for me to know here? Where's the divine in this? Where is the greater loving, the greater truth in this situation? Because it's important and it matters. So we have the power through thought to turn any situation into a thought process. When you see something's happened out there that makes you mad, that upsets you, that makes you sad, think about what about that is the thought process itself. Think about your thinking about it. And as you think about it, you transform in your mind your opinions about it into something different. Example. 9/11 was a big one. The world felt, we all felt, many people in this country, I almost overdid my exaggeration, felt it victimized and hurt and harmed. One of the things that hit me really hard right after 9/11 was the pain that people must have been in to be willing to fly an airplane into a building and lose their lives doing it. The belief and the pain and the sense of separation from we Americans and who we are. And on one level, it was a horrific thing. But if you lift your consciousness to another place, it was also an invitation for the United States and the people of the United States to get involved in the world experience in a way we had not been before. It was a moment when the whole world was focused on one event. Now, that's happened since then. It happened with COVID. It's happened with other things. But that was the first time ever that we had the opportunity to do that. And you know, computers that measure these things were lined up all over the world, saying that there was a unification of thought, a unification of point, a unification of awareness. Now, maybe that was a hard way to do it. No doubt there. But on a higher level, there was a unification that happened, and that matters. And that mattered. And people extended kindness and condolences across all kinds of lines and barriers. A group of us began to treat for the greater good for all of the world leaders involved on all sides of that question at the time, and have continued that. Because to see any one of them as the evil versus the good is to believe in separation, and there is no separation. Granted, there's a difference in the way people are showing up and how they're using the power within them. No doubt about that. But underneath it, behind it, there's one human, there's one person, there's one beingness. And that's where we want to put our attention. That's where I want to put my attention, because You know, I would go back to my thing, my internet mention. I typically don't watch these negative things that pop up on my YouTube feed, even though it's always tempting. But when I do watch one, like I did last night, you know what happens after that, right? It blows up with the same kinds of things all of a sudden. All of my YouTube feed is all of this angry, negative, blobity, blah, blah, blah stuff that I didn't want to watch to begin with, but I just kind of slipped into that, paid attention one time to this one thing. You know, we teach what we pay attention to multiplies. Where you put your attention grows. That's a perfect example of it. We teach it. The folks who manage the internet learned a long time ago that that works, and so they created algorithms to know what you're paying attention to so they could give you more of it and get you to click more and share more. I'm not making any of that bad. I'm just saying it's a great example. So now, the next few days, I didn't get to go back to my YouTube feed and only click on the things that I want to see, that I like, that are positive and good and about life expansion and expression. And as I do that, my feed will transform itself. And a lot of that, those other things will still show up every once in a while, like, you want me? You want to pay attention here? It's kind of like what happens in your life. Here's a victim situation. Do you really want to go there? You want to dive into that and just get down in the pit and feel sorry for yourself? Or do you want to stay up above and beyond it? And you get to choose. It's freedom. You get to choose. So I invite us all to turn our attention away from so much of the horror and the negative stuff that we don't like and that we don't want. Not to ignore and try to rise above it, but to know better. To know that even through that, these are divine beings. Yeah. Even those people you think are absolutely horrible and do awful things to each other, they are still expressions of the divine. And if I can look beyond that into that expression of the divine, then as I see that, as I focus on it, that possibility of them shifting and changing becomes even greater. I did that on my family. Amazing how they transformed. You know, they didn't really. I just transformed the way I saw them. So it makes a difference for me, and it makes a difference for you. Ernest Holmes talks about this and summarizes it in a beautiful way in the Science Mind textbook, right towards the back. The back part of for those who don't know, the back part of the textbook is loaded, I mean loaded, with good stuff. So don't get stuck in the front part. Go back and look at the back. Look at some of those meditations and such. So here we have it. If we look at love long enough, we shall become lovely. For this is the way of love. God is love. If we gaze lovingly at joy, it will make its home with us. And we shall enter its portals and be happy. If we seek the divine in men, women, children, and all sentient beings, we shall find it and be entertaining angels unawares. From Science Abiding. That's my challenge, my invitation to you today. Let's get about the business of entertaining angels. Let's get about the business of seeing the divine and the good in all people, whether we understand it or not. And as we do, we can set ourselves free from the anger, the fear, the pain, the discouragement, and the sadness. Because, you know, you deserve that. You're wonderful. So am I. So it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So now we're going to have our man of all things come up and share with us some information about prosperity and other.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Yeah. Technical difficulties aside, we had a great service this morning. Thank you, Dr. Bob, for that awesome talk. Thank you, Barbara, for your treatment and starting us off. So with that, we have a way to donate to support this organization and what we do and spread into the world. I saw a lot of you today is coming online, San Jose, all other parts of the world. So for you, you can go online to cslmidtown.org/donate. It'll show up on the screen. There's a QR code that'll pop up in a minute. And we appreciate your donations. We need your donations. So that's important. You can do that one time or on ongoing giveness. And so if you will, say with me our affirmation for prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And if you're here in the room, there's a basket in the back if you want to donate that way as well. I'm going to turn it back to Dr. Bob. We've got a special guest coming in at the end of June that he's going to talk about. And we'll go from there.
Thank you. Okay, so we got a lot happening this month. Just to give you an idea, this is our theme for the month is compassion. Today, we talked about compassion for the world in a larger, broader sense. Next week, Reverend Cynthia Paulson, who is with us quite often, is going to be speaking on compassion for the self. Place to start. You start within ourselves. So she will be doing this online next week and the rest of this month. We will be online only. So be sure to join us for that. The following Sunday, which is Father's Day, will be compassionate relationships. I'll be bringing that talk. And then the last weekend of the month, we have a very exciting thing, in my opinion. One of my friends and a really well-known, well-established author is going to be with us for the weekend, Jim Lockhart. Some of you may know him. He used to be in Florida as a minister, and he's been all around. He has written a book called Beloved Community as a spinoff from Martin Luther King's famous statement about beloved community. And he's developed a whole lot around that in terms of how you develop a beloved community. How do you understand and assess where you are as a beloved community? So we're going to have three events. Two will be in person. One will be online. On Saturday, oh, good, there it is. We will be at that's the Sunday one. Okay. On Saturday, we'll be at the City of Light from 10 to 12, and that will be for all people who consider yourselves any kind of spiritual leader. If you're a practitioner, if you're a minister, if you're just a person who practices, not just, but if you are a person who practices this teaching in a powerful way, please plan to be there. We'll be at the City of Light from 10 to 12. It will be an offering only, and please let us know. We'll have a registration up in the next day or two to let us know that you're coming, because we'll have some coffee and donuts and maybe something healthier than that, but maybe not. And then on Sunday, Jim will be our speaker online in our regular Sunday celebration. And then Sunday afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock, will be a workshop entitled Spirit Edgewalkers. And that is, to me, a really fascinating idea. There's a movement happening all over the world called Spiritual Edge Walking, that it's about living, bringing the spiritual life of life into our world and into ourselves in a way that we live a little more on the edge, and we're bringing that cutting edge of greatness and goodness and truth to the world. So Jim will have some wonderful exercises for us that will be strictly in person, again at the City of Light from 2 to 5. It will be a $40 contribution or whatever you can pay. Please do not stay away if that's a, if that money is a problem. And if you do show up and you want to put some more in the for other people, feel free to do that. Let us know you're coming. info@cslmidtown.org. We will be thrilled to see you. You're in for a real treat, and I really hope as many of you as possible can come out and join us. All right, so let's let this go today. We're going now into our wonderful meal, and from that we'll have a conversation, which we will do through Zoom as well as here in the room, on some of what we are thinking about in terms of compassion for the world, some of the places that we're stuck, some of the places that we thrive, some of the places that we are actually doing things in different arenas out of compassion for the world. So join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. Thank you. See you next time.